I love this guy. We love him out here in the Bay Area. He is one of our treasures, a University of Miami guy, too. One of the thrills for me in 2010 was the night they won the World Series, and he was out on the mound drinking champagne, and I was in the bunker doing the show. I said, where'd he go? And there he was. But he's a dear friend. He knows baseball cold. He's a color analyst for the Washington Nationals TV network, and that is F.P. Santangelo. How you doing, brother?
Good to hear your voice, Marty. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, come on. I'm thrilled to have you. And, you know, honestly, we miss you out here, and it's baseball season, so I wanted to have you on. But you were at Finity's for, was it opening night?
Yes. Mike Kuko's son, Jarek, was moved to New York, so he texted me, and I met up with him at Finity's, and Kevin Franzen's on our ball club now, which is a great thrill for me, a kid I coached in San Jose in A-ball, and now I get to call his games every day and spend some time with him and his new wife, Amanda. So just happy to have him here. And we went to Finity's, and I felt like I was at home. It was great. Everybody had Giants jerseys on. We were listening to Kipe and Crook, and it was just fantastic. So it was a good opening day. And, you know, I just don't even know why, Marty, anybody's even playing these regular season games because, I mean, it's a foregone conclusion, right? 2010, 2012, and then 2014, right? The only thing I will say, we have a lot of Giants influence here with Matt Williams, Kevin Franzen, and myself. So maybe the Nats will have something to say about, you know, the every 2 year thing with the Giants winning the World Series.
Well, everybody loves the Nats. I mean, if you looked at all the national predictions, I think it was unanimous that the Nats win the National League East, the Nationals, of course. And I'd say of the World Series predictions, they were probably 70% to go into the World Series.
And I get you what? I mean, did anybody pick the Giants in 2010 or 2012? No. So, I mean, I think that scares a lot of people here in D.C. fan-wise than anything else. I know the players embrace it, and maybe they didn't so much last year. They weren't used to being in the driver's seat and being the team that everybody was gunning for. But, you know, it's better to be picked to win the World Series than, you know, nobody talking about you at all. But that also means, you know, people are going to come gunning for you. And the Braves are the defending NL East champs, and they won yesterday, and they still have to figure a way to get by Atlanta. So, you know, first things first, the grind of the 162, and we'll see what happens.
All right, let's talk about your ball club because, you know, we're out here, and honestly, you know, the Washington and Atlanta, they might as well be playing in England or something, you know, for all the news we get out of this stuff. But bring us up to date on the ball club, and they're off to a great start. A tough game yesterday, getting beat 2-1. But they look like a club. A second baseman's a hot hitter now. Strasburg pitches today. The bullpen is solid. Bring us up to date on the club.
Well, first of all, it was opening day here in D.C., and the pitch looked amazing, the field. So, I mean, we're not in England, Marty. We're on the East Coast.
Right.
And it was great. I'll tell you what, you know, all the Giants opening days I experienced, and then some in other towns that I played in, there is nothing like opening day in the nation's capital. I mean, just the pomp and circumstance, the military, the tradition. I mean, just it screams America. So an awesome day at the ballpark yesterday that probably didn't turn out the way Nats fans would have liked it to, but 2-1 Braves win. I thought the most interesting thing that happened yesterday, Marty, I don't know if you saw it, it was the first really controversial replay thing I've seen, and Ian Desmond hit a ball down the left field corner, and it got stuck between the padding, where the padding ends, and kind of like a little 7-inch space between the padding and the warning track, and the ball kind of stopped in there. So Justin Upton walked over and put his arms up for a ground rule double, and Ian Desmond kept running around the bases. Well, the third base, I think Marvin Hudson was the third base umpire. He waved it off like, play on, play on. And then Freddie Gonzalez came out and appealed it, and you can appeal a ground rule double. So Ian Desmond ran all the way around. It would have tied the game at one. They went in, they reviewed it. Probably a 5-plus-minute delay, maybe more. I want to say close to 6 or 7, but I'm not sure. But it was a long one. And they finally decided that it was a ground rule double and sent Ian Desmond back. And apparently, it says if the ball is wedged in a wall or padding, it's a ground rule double. And I contested on the air, being the homer broadcaster that I am, that, you know, if he could reach down, he finally reached down and picked it up and threw it in. And on the replay, when he actually reached down and picked it up, he reached down and picked it up like a ball was just laying in the middle of the outfield.
Yeah.
So I guess lodged, I guess, is the definition, lodged in the fence. So I showed the replay. I went on Webster's Dictionary. I read the definition of lodged, and it had nothing to do with what happened with that play. So I just think this whole replay thing, while everyone's screaming it's a great invention and it's a great addition to the game and get it right, I think it's opened up a can of worms, and it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out throughout the course of the year. But And my first experience with it, it wasn't good. So we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah, FP Santangelo with us. You know the voice. Well, you have enough lawyers in Washington to, you know, to make some arguments. Just go to the Supreme Court on this one. But, you know, that I agree with you because it's easy to say, all right, the tag at second base, was it a tag or not? But you start getting into the finer moments of a baseball game and trying to unravel something, I think it opens up a can of worms, and especially the length of delay there is unconscionable. You just can't have that. So they say they're bugs. There are bugs, but I think as we go through this thing, they're really going to come out. And I don't think it's over yet. I think we've got a long way to go before they figure this thing out. But that's how I feel about it. Hey, you know, I love Washington openers. And the president used to come out. Of course, it goes back to President Taft in the early 1900s. Who threw out the first pitch yesterday?
One of the survivors from the Navy Yard shooting last year. And the ballpark is right in Navy Yard. I live in Navy Yard, actually, Marty, which is two blocks from the ballpark. So we had some of the survivors from the shooting last year, if you remember the tragedy.
Sure, I remember when that happened. Yeah, I remember you tweeting about it.
That's throughout the first pitch. But our current president, not a baseball fan. I've been here 4 years now. I haven't seen him. So that's kind of different for me. I was one of the things when I got this job, I was excited to see maybe the president come to a few baseball games, but he hasn't come yet. So, you know, maybe I'll give him a shout-out tonight on the air, but I doubt he's watching. We need to get him out to the ballpark. I mean, but if you look at his, I think he threw out a first pitch here before I got here, and he put on his White Sox hat, and I think it pissed a lot of people off. So
well,
that's why he has.
Yeah, that's the – I was going to say, if you can get interleague to play the White Sox, the guy, you know, he'll be out there for batting practice. But
they call it the Comiskey Field. They call it Comiskey Field. How much of a baseball fan can he be?
Very good.
Come on.
Come on. That's one of my words. That's very good.
I mean, this conversation is probably being tapped because I live seven blocks from the White House right now. But
do you feel that living there? Do you feel like a little crazy because of all the government there?
No, I love it. I love every bit of it. I mean, obviously I miss home, but I come back in the off season. But it's cool. I mean, yesterday after the game, I had a little get together at my place, and three of the guys that were here are really close friends of mine now, and they're the president's Secret Service agents. They went out and went golfing with them today. Well, you know, they weren't golfing, but they were protecting them on the golf course. And it's just fun to be in that atmosphere and to have friends that are Navy SEALs and fighter pilots and congressmen and senators and Secret Service. And it's just a really, really cool town with a lot of intelligent people and a lot going on. There's always something going on here. I mean, it's the center of the free world. So it's a great place to be, and I live right downtown. It's fun.
I'm glad you're there. This is a great break for you, and you're making the most of it. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, AFP Pecan here with you, man. Glad to have you on the show today. And wait, you're going to really like Washington when speaking of natitude, when all the gnats and mosquitoes come out after that brutal winter, man. It's going to be tough for you.
Hey, man, I'm just glad to be in a big league city calling big league games. It does get a little warm here in the summertime, but other than that, I get to watch Bryce Harper play every night. I get to watch Steven Strasburg pitch every 5 days. I get to watch one of the best young shortstops in Ian Desmond play baseball every night, and Jason Worth, who's ageless, do his thing in right field. And I mean, it's just a great team to watch, and it's an easy team to fall in love with. I know a lot of people on the West Coast probably haven't seen the Nats play, but a lot of good personalities, a lot of good guys, and it's a really good ball club. I think if they stay healthy, they'll definitely have a say in the postseason. But I don't know, Pecan, it's just a great place, man. I've kind of hopefully found a home. I love it here, and the fans seem to be receptive, and I love what I do. I mean, it's the greatest job in the world. I'm the luckiest man ever.
That's awesome, FP. And, I used to live in Gaithersburg, Maryland, in Montgomery County, so I dig the Beltway scene. Hey, man, you talked about Bryce Harper and Strasburg, and their health is always a big a talking point, even on the West Coast, at least for Marty and myself, and when Bruce Jenkins comes on. Harper took a knee to the bean on opening day at Citi Field, and I know he hasn't missed any time, but, boy, he's had some head injuries over the last 2 years. What do you think about his health going forward?
Well, I said this the other day, I think there's a big misconception that Bryce Harper plays too hard, and I don't think there's such a thing. The guys that play the hardest never get hurt. Everybody made a big stink about him running the wall in Dodger Stadium last year, and that had nothing to do with playing hard. He got disoriented. He lost track of where he was. He was looking up for a ball in the twilight and just kind of ran into the wall. He wasn't trying too hard. He just basically got disoriented. So everyone started saying, well, Bryce Harper plays too hard. He doesn't play too hard. There's no such thing as playing too hard. The guys, Pecan, that try not to get hurt always get hurt. Right. I mean, Pete Rose was on the field every single day his whole career, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. I mean, that's a guy that grinded it out, played hard. I mean, you can go to guys like Eric Burns and guys that throughout the course of history, Rex Hudler. I mean, there's guys that – the guys that, to me, that played the hardest really – I mean, you get dinged up, but you don't get injured to where you're missing games. It's the guys that try to protect themselves and not go full speed. And I'm going to ease up on this slide right here, and they twist something. So I don't think you scale back with Bryce Harper at all. That's the way he plays. That's his game. You know, sometimes you're just, you kind of cringe when you see him go first to third with no outs and get thrown out by a mile or miss a cutoff, man. But for all those moments you do that, there's 10 more to where I can't believe he just made that play, or I can't believe he, you know, went first to third on that, or I can't believe he scored on that short sack fly. So it's a give and take kind of thing. And there were a few moments in yesterday's game to where I felt like the Nats ran themselves out of the ball game, but, you know, they're an aggressive team with an aggressive manager, and Matty Williams. I know all Giants fans love Matt Williams. He was one of my favorite players growing up. So, I mean, we're lucky to have him as a skipper here, and they're going to be aggressive. And, you know, Bryce Harper is kind of the signature of that. And with Strasburg, he's healthy. He's good. He was throwing 93, which may be a little concern on opening day, but it was cold in New York, and we'll see what he does tonight.
All right. Yasiel Puig or Bryce Harper, who do you want?
Come on. Bryce Harper's on time every day, and he drives the speed limit. That's easy.
Well, they both got big in the offseason, FP.
Well, that's okay, but I'm seeing a lot of controversy with Yasiel Puig, and I know nothing could make Giants fans more happy to see to see him late and see Don Mattingly saying this and him saying that. And I know all the players pulled him aside and tried to straighten him out, but we'll see how that whole thing plays out down in L.A. Obviously, they have probably the most talent in the West, but not always does the most talent win. So, I mean, we'll see how that works.
Boy, absolutely. All right, we'll let you go with this. Matt Williams, former Giant, the manager. FP, you know the job. You got to handle men. You've got to handle the press. You've got to do a million things. New manager, first time doing it. How is he standing up to this? How do you see it?
Well, he was a TV guy, so the press thing's nothing. I joked with him today. I said, my favorite part of the season is not going to be to see you evolve as a great manager, because I already know that's going to happen. I said, it's going to be to watch your press conferences get shorter and shorter and shorter until you're basically Belichick by the end of the year. But right now, he's a new manager. He's all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. He's answering every question to the fullest and pulling out all his TV 101 skills. I'm just sitting there in the background kind of giggling to myself, going, okay, Matty, I can't wait till you figure this out to where I'm done with these people, but you're still going to be polite. And he was laughing at it, and he agreed that, you know, hey, it's early, and he's in a new city, and first time as a manager of major leagues. But I don't think Mike Rizzo could have made a better choice for a manager. Okay. And Giants fans know that. I mean, this guy's a guy that commands respect right when he walks into the clubhouse. He had that as a player, and he has that as a manager right now. His attention to detail is like no other. Just scouting reports and all the numbers they have, and he's into the analytic part of the game and advanced analytics, and he really puts it to use with his baseball knowledge. So, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be a fantastic big league manager, and he's the right man. I mean, the guys are just raving about him on how you know, great of an approach he has in the clubhouse. And it's a different vibe, Marty. I can just tell by walking in the clubhouse and standing around the cage and even being on the plane with the guys the other day. It's just a different kind of atmosphere and a different feel in a better way. There was a thought that maybe Davey Johnson stayed a year too long last year and that maybe, you know, he checked out sometime halfway through the season. I've heard some people talk about that, you know, so it's just good to have new blood in there and to have Matt Williams, who, like I said, was one of my favorite Giants. And get this, Marty, my first game, and I know I'm going long right here, my first game against the Giants, Robbie Thompson, Matt Williams, my two favorite Giants. I'm in Montreal. I get on second with a double, and I'm thinking, here comes Robbie Thompson. He's going to come over and say, "Way to swing it, FP. We know you're from the Bay Area. Good job." He walks over, and he goes, after two pitches, "Are you relaying signs to the hitter?" I said, "No. No, Mr. Thompson, I'm not. Like, this is my favorite player." So then I advance to third somehow, and I'm like, okay, here's Matt Williams, my other favorite Giant. How cool is this? I'm playing against these guys that I grew up watching, and I'm standing right next to him. So Matt Williams comes over, and I think he's going to say, "Wait a swing," because I smoked a double or something. And he goes, "Hey, are you relaying signs from second base?" So, "No, Mr. Williams, I'm not relaying signs from second."
Funny. So
apparently the word got out. They thought I was relaying signs from second base, and that's how I met two of my favorite Giants. And I told Matty that story the other day, and he remembered it. So
it's
a cool thing to have a guy that you grew up rooting for that was one of your favorite players to be your manager and to be around him every day is pretty cool.
Hey, you're an Eddie Stanky kind of player. Look it up. You're that kind of player. You could you could do a lot of things, but the main thing is you could beat somebody, and that's what you did. One last thought. You mentioned Montreal. How'd you like the crowds in Montreal last week of the exhibition season?
Awesome. I mean, I was having flashbacks just seeing the ballpark and all the shots of a place that I grew up playing baseball 4 years as an expo in Montreal, and nothing but fond memories of the ballpark, which a lot of people feel like, really? Yeah, well, that's your first love. You're always going to, you know, have fond memories of your first love, and that's where I broke into the big leagues. So seeing that and seeing the fans and just brought back a flood of memories. And they just didn't like coming to that ballpark, Marty, for in the summertime when you have a two-month summer in Montreal, and the park was about, I guess the park's about where Candlestick was from downtown San Francisco, maybe a little bit further. So they just didn't like coming out there to an indoor place when, you know, you have basically June and July is all you have where the weather's nice. So,
right.
And plus you're losing your favorite player every year. But I feel like if they ever got a downtown stadium, a very intimate 30, 32,000 seat downtown stadium, that baseball could come back there. There's no doubt in my mind. They're good fans. They just got sick of losing their favorite players and got sick of coming to that ballpark. So,
yeah, I agree.
That's cool to see.
I agree. I'm glad you said that. I agree 100%. Hey, I know you got to get to work. You got a good game today, Strasburg, Tehran, Atlanta, and the Nats, and we'll follow you. And, man, I love talking ball with you, and I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, right on, FP.
Anytime you need me, guys. Pleasure being back on KNBR, and go Giants. Beat the Dodgers, huh?
All right, man. Very good. Thanks, FP.
Yeah.
All right. Boy, what a pleasure, huh?